Welcome to the weekly message from the Kalkaska Church of Christ, tucked into the pines of beautiful northern Lower Michigan. We're glad you're here. Whether you're listening on the road, at home, or somewhere in between, we hope today's message encourages your faith and points you closer to Christ.
All right, we're going to do things a little bit differently today. We've had some people that have gone on mission trips and have come back, and I wanted you to hear from them, since many of you supported them financially, and we're praying for them. And so I'm going to start with Annie Ponstein. So Annie, come on up. Annie went to Guatemala. Let's give her a hand. There you go. Have a seat. Now, I know that you brought some slides. Do you want to walk through the slides or just have them playing while we're talking?
We can go through the slides.
All right.
So the whole year was kind of a mission trip.
Okay.
In my opinion. So this is kind of the walkthrough or the big highlights of the year or of my 9 months with Brook Street Ministries.
All right. So, if you want to stand up and watch, walk them through, you can. That's fine.
So this picture is one of the first pictures we've taken in one of our first moments together as a group. There's 9 people in this group. We ended with 8. One of my team members had to drop off in the middle of the year. But this, so in our Matthew study, we did a Matthew study, and this picture is us reading the Sermon on the Mount with Mountain Dew. So,
I knew I could find a spiritual tie to Mountain Dew in there. So let me pause you for just a second. First of all, this is Annie Ponstein. I apologize. Annie is the grandchild of Mike and Kim Babcock, daughter of Mike and Jill Ponstein. All right. And tell us about the program again, because I don't know that everybody knows about the program.
All right, so Retreat Ministries is a ministry down in Grand Rapids on the west side, and they do urban youth ministry. And that's kind of their big thing. So we have, during the school year, they work with the middle schoolers from Northside, Westside, and Burton Heights. And we have sites on each of those places. And every day, we went and they kind of divided us up. And we went to the middle school programs every day after school, and we worked with them, and then they do a high school thing that we weren't a part of, but it's over the summer, and then they do a gap year program, which is what I did, and so it's a 9-month intensive. You live in community with the people in the group, and so that's my group.
Okay.
They got a house. We all lived together. We had house parents, and the director of the organization lived right across from our headquarters, and then the assistant director lived a few blocks away. So we're all very close, living together intentionally in community, and that was one of the big points that they really emphasized was community and helping us find our faith and affirm our faith in what our we have our backgrounds and how strong.
So it's with that group that you went to Guatemala with. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Great. Yep. All right. So back to Mountain Dew.
So one of our things was we had to read Matthew all in one sitting. And so we had to, like, spice it up a little bit. And so that's one of the ways we spiced it up.
One of my favorite ways to spice things.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right, good.
And then so with the middle school program, we were very intentional with our middle school program. And so they were also very intensive with high potential. These students have high potential, and they really feed into that to the kids. And so one of the challenges they had was the STEM competition. And so that's us at the STEM competition, our group again. They did egg drop. I helped with a catapult, And they did a bridge building, and the kids built it all themselves, and the leaders just stood back and said, okay, we're here for you, whatever you need. And they're like, nope, we got it. So they built everything themselves. So that was very cool to see.
Very good.
And then, so this was in Guatemala. So I went to Guatemala for 2 months, for January and February. And during January was kind of one of the hard months, because we got there, everyone got sick besides me and another person. So that was really hard. We didn't really do much, but we learned about silent servitude, about serving the people in the base, YWAM base we're staying at. And we didn't go out much, but it was just so much going on in, like, politically. There's just so much political unrest and everything else going on with us being sick, and they just didn't feel comfortable with us being out and about. So we didn't do much January, but we got to one of our last days in the YWAM base. We got to hang out with the kids. They did a mother's missionary there, and the kids' day they had. So we got to watch kids both days. And that day, and that's me coloring with some of the girls I met and having fun with them for that afternoon. And this is us waiting for what they call a chicken bus, which is basically a party bus. It's an old school bus, and you can ride as long as you want, and it's, I think, relatively cheap. I didn't really know. But we rode them everywhere, and it was kind of fun.
You said, here's my money, take whatever I owe you?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Or that was our leader's job.
Gotcha, okay.
That kind
all
of
right.
money. And then this is us. So we went to La Limonada, which is the biggest slum in Latin America or Central America. And so in those slums, they have these... We went to three schools called Vias Plenas, which is where they help the kids of gang members and leaders and all of that. So this is some of the kids that we got to play. We got to play with them. We got to sing songs. I'd also like to thank Sarah for teaching me some VBS songs, because that is what we did. We played Duck Duck Goose. They love Duck Duck Goose. Or Pato Pato Ganso is what they call it. We played, and then we did a craft with them, and they loved coloring, and so we got to color a lot with them. And then we got to dance, like I said, with the kids. The kids all loved it. And then this is, well, before Guatemala, but we went on a pilgrimage to Montgomery, Alabama, or what they call the pilgrimage. And one of our other things was do justice, love mercy from Micah 6:8. Mm-hmm. And so we led our justice group. And so we went down and we visited a lot of different places in Montgomery, and a lot of where slavery. We got to learn about slavery and all of that. Yeah. So there's that. That's us at our host church. And then this is at Guatemala too. We hiked up this hill, and you can't really see it. That's not the best picture of it, but it's a cross, and they call it La Cruz. And you look over Antigua, Guatemala, which is where we stayed for the first month of January. And so that's all of us. That's our leader, Adam. And then over there is Alan. And I don't see Tati in there, but she is another one of our leaders. And, so that was just a fun little excursion moment that we had. And then this is Sigo Vivo. That's Tati in the gray T-shirt. Standing up. So that's her church in Guatemala. It's called Sigo Vivo, which means I'm still living. And they have, and so it's basically a church for homeless people. And it's a really cool story how they got started. Well, and sad. It's kind of a sad story. But it's very cool how God called Tati and her family to start this church with people that are in the slums and people that don't really want to come or aren't. Like churches, I kind of feel sad saying this, but churches down there aren't really open to them. So they, but they started this, and there's a lot of people helping them, and run this church, and it's cool. One of my teammates got to share his testimony, and they all seem to respond to it very beautifully.
Nice.
So it was fun, and that church was also very interesting.
So I'm going to pause you telling us about pictures. I'm going to let the pictures play. Yeah. I'm going to ask you a question, okay, just for the sake of time, so we're going to have another group come up to you. So what did God teach you the most?
Definitely in January was the silent servanthood, and then in February was just to keep going for the kids, because they absolutely, so we did the same lesson 3 days a week, three times a day, and so it got very repetitive. And so that's when I had to be like, okay, like, we got to do this, because you got to do it new for, like, you haven't done it before with the kids.
Yeah.
And so that's just like being mentally strong in doing that.
So is this a Bible lesson, I'm assuming, that you're doing for
Bible
the kids?
Lesson,
yeah. What was the lesson? Do you remember?
We did Abraham, Noah. I can't remember the last one, but it was the lineage of Abraham.
Okay.
What we kind of did.
Okay. And were the kids receptive to? Yeah.
Yeah. They had a blast. We did. A song down that that is from Guatemala, and they all knew it, so we got all fun with that. And then we did Light of the World, which the teachers absolutely loved that song. And we did Power Shuffle, which is one of the fun ones that the kids liked.
Yeah.
And then there was. Oh, we did Father Abraham, because one of our lessons.
Everybody loves Father Abraham. Yep. So the song just keeps going on forever.
It does.
Whenever I hear that song, I just want to do this.
Yep.
Yeah. So what was your favorite part of the whole trip?
My favorite part was probably, so in our community, with living in 9 months, just getting to know everyone, being in an uncomfortable situation and adapting to kind of everyone, and trying to kind of maneuver what Guatemala means to us, and like what that happened. That was one of my kind of, not my favorite, but an interesting kind of course we took. My favorite was when. So we kind of had a pool day one day and a beach day during one of our off days. And we just had fun, got to know each other more in the fun setting. And
what's the most challenging thing that happened?
Oh, boy. So, as you know, mission trips are very hard. So I have two things with that. One is the leadership in Guatemala. You have to submit to your leader and what they say is law. So that was hard for us, being Americans. Like, why do we have, we're conditioned to question everything with leadership, or what we don't understand. Like, we're like, why do we do this? But we had to do that. And then the second part was. I can't think of the second part.
Now, you had a lot of unrest outside of your compound, right?
Yes,
like
we did.
You were kind of on lockdown a little bit for a little while?
So,
And I'm sure that didn't make Mom and Dad nervous whatsoever. They were all good with all that going on.
But a little bit. So a week and a half before we went to Guatemala City, there was gang rivals in the in the police holding. So there's 15 officers killed that night, and so we're all like, okay, so now what? So we're all under a state of siege, and that lasted till the second half of February. And so we were going to La Limonada that day, and there were like police officers in like full army garb, big guns, big hats, protective everything. And so we're like, oh, okay, so this is, and our leader, and so we were walking through, and we saw one of the leaders of the police force kind of like tell them to go forward, and they were moving with us. So that was kind of like, oh, okay, this isn't scary at all. And so I'm like holding on to my bag and like just to hold on to something, because we're walking in a straight line. And so one of the teachers from Vidas Plenas had to escort us there into the van. And so we're like, okay. So that was our only protection, was that teacher, because they're cool with gangs, and if we're associated with them, then we're cool. So we're like, okay. So the teacher didn't really have any power against the police. So we're like, okay. And then our teacher, before we got out of the van, she was like, okay, if I say hide your head, you get down on the floor and you hide your head. I'm like, oh, okay.
Always an instruction you want to hear when you're getting on a bus.
Yep. And so we're like, oh, boy. And so we're walking. And so thankfully, we made it to the school. The kids are at the school. They are sobbing. They are scared. And we are scared. We just had to place a smile on our face, like, it's okay, and try and make the day fun for them. But thankfully, it only lasted half a day, and it was basically just since the siege was ending, it was basically just like reinforcement, like this is what we can do. Right. And so that was thankfully half a day, and we had from my knowledge, there's nothing that happened.
Nothing else. Very cool. All right, so I'm going to pray for Annie. Let's give her a hand. Thank you. We're going to plan to have Annie, I think, at a lunch bunch coming up this summer also. So if you want to hear more of her adventures, you'll be able to come and hear that as well. So I'm going to pray for us. And while I'm praying, if the Africa team wants to make their way up, that'd be great. So let me pray for her. All right, Annie. Father, thank you so much for Annie and for what you laid on her heart to go and do in Guatemala. Thank you for the work that she did. And I pray that that the people there would see the fruit of their labor, of her group that went down. Pray that the kids will just have soaked in the stories of the Bible that they shared with them, and pray that it will just impact their life for all of eternity. Thank you for bringing her back safely. Thank you for her family and friends that supported her in her trip. And I pray that as we continue just to hear from her, that you'd help us just to learn more and more about how you're using Annie to do great things. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks, Ann. All right, where's the Africa trip? Who are supposed to? Oh, there they are. All right. I was going to say, you didn't follow directions, but there you were. All right, so this is part of the group, 40% of them, right? That came back, if I'm doing my math correctly, that came back from Africa. And
we left the other 60%.
You left the other 60% in Africa? That's, you had to vote somebody off the island, right? All right. I had them all. I sent questions. All right, here's what I'm going to ask you, and not everybody may get to answer every question. But so, what's the most? Tell us about the most exciting thing that that took place.
Everything.
All right, that'll be it. Let's give them a hand.
The most exciting thing for me was the most intense, heart-pounding, thrilling soccer game of my life. We played soccer at the workshop with the Sun team. And after working with them and serving with them all week, we just got so close to them. And they can play soccer. And, I mean, I Yeah, almost scary. We were in skirts, and I was barefoot in the gravel, and I love soccer. I played in my early 30s. But just to, like, have the mountains in the background and, you know that we've had that week of work under our belt, and just to have fun and run around and scream and yell and, you know, play with them was so much fun. And just for the record, I did take the ball away from Usto.
No.
And I'll take that to my grave.
Did you score a goal?
No.
No. All right.
I think for me it was the people. I fell in love with the people. I came back with a bigger family. I gained a sister, many nieces and nephews, and a couple of sons. So even though, Gibros, I had to be 10 when you were born, but yeah.
Kind of like Michelle, it was everything. I think it started when we climbed the mountain. That was a big deal for me. It was kind of reminiscent of Guatemala when we climbed the volcano, and it was a rough trek. And so as a group, the support, it really gave us an opportunity to get to know this fun group, and also the members of our group and their abilities. And we got the closeness that happened in that climb, that first day out, was amazing. Teddy, who is 17,
He's upstairs,
yay, Teddy. I have to say, I give it to him. It's like, I was ready to be done. We were about four and a half miles up the mountain, and I was really counting on Teddy to say, nope, I'm done. And he's like, yeah, I think I can do it. I was like, oh, man. That means I got to go, too. And we made it to the top, each of us in our groups. And the team building and the connections that we built on that trip will last forever, and I just am so grateful for that.
I put together some things on paper because I wanted to keep my thoughts together and my emotions in check. So I sort of cheated, but I wrote out something and asked Andy if it was okay if I said it. So first of all, I would like to start with thanking each and every one of you for supporting our auctions, our fundraisers, and allowing us to even go because of your support. And I would also like to give a very special thanks to the team. They were there for the children and for all the African people, but they were there for me. Together we experienced Africa culture, kindness, beauty, and love. But I also wanted to thank them for sharing their kindness and support for me with the roller coaster of emotions that I was going through. Due to a huge loss of personal items and memories of a lifetime my husband and I had experienced just days before we were to leave for the trip, I was torn on whether to even go. But I was encouraged by my husband, my friends, my family, this team, and members of the church to go. And I am so grateful that I did. I experienced from not only the team, but from the people of Africa what life is really about. It's about being grateful, not entitled, not resentful or angry. It's about kindness, love, and appreciation for everything that we are blessed with for even a short time. I saw this every day in Africa, from a small piece of candy to a soccer ball. The people of Africa felt they were given a gold mine. Smiles, hugs, love, and thank yous overflowed out of them. What I experienced was people who had nothing, and many will never have anything. What they do have is pride, thankfulness, happiness, family, and most of all, the courage to survive. Unknown to them, this is what they gave me. The courage to move forward, to know that if we are blessed to have things, be grateful for that moment, because they can be gone in minutes, but that everything will be okay. It's only stuff. Most of all, be grateful for what God's plan is for us. I thank each of them and my team for this experience. God bless all of you, and thank you.
Thank you. Dawn, while you've got the mic, what did God teach you on the trip?
I think it was more just that trusting him, because a lot of times when we've gone on trips with different organizations, there's a lot of, we knew exactly what was happening all the time, and there was a lot of, we didn't know from day to day exactly what that was going to look like, and so it just reinforced that trust in God, he knows what's best. Just because we think we have a plan doesn't mean we do.
How about you, Sarah?
That our roads are really not that bad over here. Their roads over there were really bad. They actually put me down for a day with my back. But watching the love that they had, they were so excited for us to be there. We couldn't even get off the bus at the Maasai Village because they were coming onto the bus to welcome us to church. I don't even know how to put this into words. walking into the hut at the Maasai Village, it was a two-room hut, no lights inside. You know, two big beds in there, and then they had a spot that they cooked on. It was very hot. There were a lot of flies. Flies didn't bother them. You know, there was one of the wives. Did he have two or three wives?
He had two.
Two. And she had just had a two-week-old baby, and she pretty much stayed in the hut, and it was so hot. So hot with the cooking and stuff, and she didn't want any pictures really of the baby yet. And we talked for a few more minutes and we turned to leave, and our translator grabbed my arm and said, "Sarah, wait." And I'm like, "What's going on?" And she goes, "She wants you to name the baby." And I looked at Matt, and my eyes were huge, and I'm like, "Whoa, that's a huge honor." And I'm like, "What do I do?" You know? And Matt's like, "You should name her Willow after your daughter." And which started me crying then. And it was a great suggestion. So there is now a Willow in Africa. And come to find out that Ann and Todd were asked to name a baby, and they had named her Sarah. So there is now a Sarah and Willow. Lord help them in Africa.
I would have gone with Dorcas personally, but whatever.
God taught me to fully trust him in all the situations. Like Annie said, our trip actually started for me a year before we left. The planning for this trip was a lot because in the past, when we go to Go Ministries or when we went to Guatemala, we buy our flights. We give money to the organization per person, and it's planned, and we just pray and show up. Ann and Todd haven't had visiting groups in like 15 years, so a lot of the planning was Ann and I, mostly Ann, but there's just so much. I had to be a part of every little detail, and I'm trying to think of our group members and the safety of the group. And I'm trying to do it all kind of myself. And I say I'm giving it to God, but I'm not really giving it to God because I'm still kind of trying to control it. And then our group was met with so many challenges, a couple of significant health issues. A couple group members didn't think they could go for health issues. We had a couple of significant financial crises that came up, all kinds of different things. And I would remind them, you know, yes, I feel like Satan's attacking our trip, but this is an opportunity for us to glorify God. We can use this to glorify God. And the more Satan tries to stop us, I feel like the better and the more fruitful the trip is going to be. And so if God put it on your heart, I know these things are coming up, but you have to trust him. And we're going to be able to do what he wants us to do. So, but I wasn't fully trusting God in all the details leading up to this. But then we get to Africa, and this is what I love about missions. I'm not from Africa. I've never been there. I don't speak the language. I have to fully submit to God, fully submit myself and the team. So I do that, and the night we get there in the airport, end up in the customs office in trouble, and, you know, there's three customs officers speaking in Swahili. Troy was in there with me. I grabbed Anne, which she wasn't supposed to be in there because we were still, like, back by security, but I grabbed her anyways. And I'm going to tell you right now, Anne Deems is a spitfire. She was yelling in Swahili right back at those guys, and I'm just sitting there like, okay, we're going to get shipped back, or we're going to go to jail. But it's God's trip, so he's got that. Like, I was not worried at all for even a second, because I was like, well, it's God's trip, so whatever he wants is what's going to happen. We ended up, you know, basically paying him off a couple hundred dollars and moved on. But then immigration showed up at the shop one day, wanted all of our passports and visas and all of that. And again, I should have, if we were here, that probably would have rattled me, but I was like, you know, it's God's trip. It's going to be what it's going to be. So if I could just have that, remember that here and all of the little things that we go to day to day.
Awesome. All right, again, let's give them a hand. I'm going to pray for them as well, and if you have any questions for them, I'm sure they'll stick around in the lobby, and they can answer any questions that you might have about their trip, all right? Father, thank you for bringing our group back from Africa safely. Thank you for putting on their hearts to go and for providing the means for them to go and for what you taught them while they were there. Father, I pray that you would continue to work through us as a church as we support the Zeems and others around the world to spread the gospel, that we would, again, just get to see the fruit of that labor and what we send. But, Father, open our eyes to what the rest of the world is seeing when they see you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Oh, thanks. I'll take that. Okay, so I don't have 5 minutes left, but with the 5 minutes that I have left, I want to share something real quick with you. When I do a funeral, I try, of course, to personalize the message that I have and how it might tie to someone's life and the experiences that they've had. But there are some times when I read the room or I read the family and I think they just need comfort. And so the passage that I generally go to when I feel that the room needs comfort is this passage in Matthew chapter 14. And I won't go through the whole thing for you, but it starts out that John the Baptist is murdered. And when his disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, hear of this, they go and get his body, they bury it, and then they go see Jesus. And that's, of course, the biggest lesson of comfort is that if we're going to find comfort, we go to Jesus first. But what happens in Matthew 14, verse 13, this is how Jesus responds. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. Jesus retreated because he heard news that affected him. He was fully man, fully God, so he felt those emotions. And so he retreated to spend some time with the Father. Now, if Jesus was ever unsuccessful at one thing, this was the one time that he was unsuccessful. Because people saw him, and they didn't let him go be by himself. They all crowded around him. They wanted to hear more. But then Jesus had compassion on them. And then we have the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And after the feeding of the 5,000, he sends everybody off. They've collected all the baskets. He sends the disciples on their boat. And in verse 22, it says, immediately, this is after the feeding of the 5,000, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. We have this model from Jesus that when things are getting heavy, or maybe there's a grief, maybe there's a trauma, or maybe there's just needing to be a time of retreat and refreshment, that he withdrew and went and spent time with the Father. Now, having said all that, I want to announce to you very quickly that I'm going to be taking a 6-week sabbatical starting next Sunday. It's going to cover 7 Sundays. No health problems, no moral issues, no elders kicking me out, not looking for another job. Ministry is a 24/7 job. It can get kind of heavy at times. I've never done this before, so I'm going to be retreating to recharge and refresh. It's going to break down like this. I'm going to do a couple weeks of vacation. I'm going to, yes, spend some granddaughter time during that vacation in Alabama. And then there's going to be a couple weeks of study. I've got a stack of books I can never get to, some podcasts to catch up on, some preaching to watch. And so just some times of learning and growing in my profession of ministry and ministering. And then the last 2 weeks are going to be spent serving. And I've thought about this the last couple of days. And I think those 2 weeks, I haven't told him this yet, I'm just going to follow Jeff Badgero around. I'm going to call him and say, who are we helping today? And I'm just going to go wherever Jeff wants me to go that day. But along that, I may help with Habitat for Humanity House. During that time, Freedom Builders, we're going to do a mission week on August 13th, 14th, and 15th. I'll be a part of that and with our church and other churches helping local families locally with wheelchair ramps or roofs or whatever the case may be. So that'll be a part of that as well. The great news is that you're going to hear some fantastic preaching to the point that when I come back and I preach my next sermon, you're going to say, is that really all you got? We have some guys locally. We have James who's going to preach and Mark's going to preach and Ephraim's going to preach. We also have Gary Johnson next week, one of my favorite preachers. Frank Weller, who's the president of Great Lakes Christian College, who was in ministry for 30 plus years. He's a fantastic preacher. Sam Long, married a Kalkaska girl. He's a professor at Great Lakes, an Old Testament guy. And you're just going to hear some great, great preaching over these next 7 Sundays. And so that's where I'll be. If you text me for something other than golf, I'm not going to answer. Okay? You can call the church office. Anita will know how to get a hold of me. I'll be around for most of that time, just not here. I appreciate your prayers, support, encouragement, and all that. I just wanted to let you know what was going on in case you were wondering, how come Andy's not been here for a while? What do we pay that guy for anyway? And you can still ask those questions. I don't know if I'll answer them. All right? So there you go. That's Robbie. All right. I'm going to ask you to stand and pray. The worship team's going to come and close us out.